This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, and it's that time of year. Thanksgiving's over, Christmas is almost upon us. Maybe you should give yourself a little special Christmas treat and maybe start planning your very next Disney vacation, be it a Disney Cruise Line vacation, be it a Disneyland vacation, be it a Walt Disney World vacation, any Disney destination. MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel can help you get there. So why not give them a try? Go to their site at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Hi, this is Joe Pardo from Clarksboro, New Jersey, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scripper-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 126 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scripper-McLean. Michelle, are you have you bought all your Valentine's Day cards, ready to send them out?
I think you got the calendar wrong, Mike. I don't know.
Well, I know that we're so far ahead. You know, I'm thinking that this show will probably air, I don't know, about a week before the Princess Half Marathon, maybe?
This is about summer running, right? We're talking about summer running. Yeah, actually, nothing could be more far from the truth. I am still cold from my I did a marathon relay with my 14-year-old today. It was his longest run, and he got his first big medal. And the thing is, though, Mike, it was – and you've run on this trail before. It was the Wolf Hollow Half Marathon. It was 20 degrees. It was 20 degrees to start, and it felt like 6 degrees, and with the wind and the wind coming off the water. So it was really bad. Yeah, my legs were red hours later. So, but we did it. We did it, and we had layers, and we're done. So we went to Panera and had one of those crazy big hot chocolates with the cookie dough, like chocolate chip cookie marshmallows. So we ate all our calories back. So with that, I have a shout out. You ready? It is to Adriana Padilla, and she did her first half marathon last weekend, or this weekend, and she's preparing for the Glass Slipper Challenge. So that's really, really cool, Adriana. Congratulations. That's a great feeling. First of many, I hope. And Mike, can I indulge you with something else? Can I indulge myself?
Please, please indulge. Please indulge.
Well, as you know, I've been kind of talking about this for a while. I am going to be running the Boston Marathon. I didn't qualify. I'm going to be running for a charity. And this one is very, very near and dear to my heart. And we won't be doing this very much on the show, but I will be doing it, kind of taking advantage and asking our listeners to support me in this race. So I'm running for Spalding Rehab, and Spalding Rehab is important for me for two reasons. It's in Boston, Massachusetts, and it was the hospital where my mom was a nurse for 31 years. It's an amazing place. It's part of Mass General. It also is very special because they are one of the providers of rehabilitation for a lot of the Boston Marathon bombing victims. I met some of them when I was there for a celebration honoring my mom this past year. So I'm running to support Spalding, and I would love it if our listeners, you know, $5, if you could support the run, that would be fantastic. The way that you get to my page is you're going to go to crowdrise.com/Spalding2014Boston Marathon. /fundraiser/Michelle Scribner-McL. So we'll put that on our podcast page. But thank you, Mike, for already supporting me. I really appreciate it.
Michelle, I want to say one thing. You don't do this. I mean, you never ask for donations or anything. And I know that the happenings, the tragedy of the Boston Marathon has touched us so much, those of us who live in New England. And I've been to Spalding. I know what work they do. And this is a direct result of the Boston Marathon. And they are the hospital that will rehabilitate and treat all these
these victims. So you definitely have my support. And every so often, between now and April, you'll be getting a little bit more from me. So
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate it. And, you know, as you said, I don't do this often. It's only for Spalding. They've asked me every year for about the past 10 years, and I've always said no. But this year I said I have to do it. I have to do it. So anyway, but I'm really excited about our topic today.
Yes, our topic is, well, when you talk about Run Disney, you talk about so many things. We've done many topics, and we will continue to find those topics which we think are most interest to our listeners. And over the past several weeks and months, we've been getting emails, and people have been asking us about volunteering for Run Disney races, especially people who are who may not be able to run a certain race. So we have invited several guests who we know are big-time volunteers, and I'd like to introduce them now. Michelle, did you want to say something?
No.
All right. I'll let it go.
Okay.
So we have invited several friends who we know are volunteers for Run Disney, and the first two are Mary Jean Cancel and Nancy Cancel, who have been volunteering at Run Disney Races for a while. Nancy and Mary Jean, welcome.
Hi. It's great to be here.
Hello.
Then they're part of our Team All Ears.
Yeah, and
I have to say that when I run Disney races, I know Mary Jean is going to talk about her volunteering, but I'm always looking for Nancy. She's like an oasis. I see her, and she's so friendly. It's so nice to see her at the races and know she's coming up because she volunteers for so many races.
I always look for Nancy, and I always ask her, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? And at the Tower of Terror race, I saw them both. I think you were both at, I want to say mile 7, but I'm not sure.
We were where you go into the woods at ESPN, Wide World of Sports.
And I saw you when I was going back to the towards the studios. I saw you just as I got onto Osceola, I think it was.
Yeah, then we had moved down to there.
Yeah, that was
they just
cool.
Go all over the place. They go wherever the heck they want to go.
When I look up Run Disney volunteers on Wikipedia, I see Nancy and Mary Jean's picture online. So we also have with us another person who has been volunteering for Run Disney events, and he hails from right on the same place. I think Mary Jean and Nancy and Phil Taylor, who we're going to have on the show, too. They all live, I believe they live just a little bit southwest of Orlando, and I believe it's in Claremont. Phil, welcome to the show.
Thank you. But recently a New Yorker. Just moved down here a few months ago, actually.
Living the dream.
The dream, Phil. So you're missing the cold and the snow, huh?
Not one bit.
And I get to see Phil. I mean, I've met Phil before, but I got to see him while I was waiting for you to finish Wine and Dine. He came over and chatted with me. So he was volunteering that night.
By the way, Michelle, the purple jacket is yours at the Dole Whip meet.
Woohoo! Thank you. He said he'd give me a volunteer jacket because it's purple. It's my favorite color. Wow. I'm going to bring you something from New Hampshire then.
All right.
Actually, Phil, as this podcast is being posted, we will be at the Dole Whip meet.
If people don't know what that is, that's for WDW Today Reunion. That's another podcast.
That's another story, yes.
It's all in the family.
Okay, so Run Disney volunteering. Let me start with Mary Jean. So if someone has an idea that they would like to volunteer at a Run Disney event, what would be the first thing they would do?
What you would do is you go to the RunDisney.com website, and you scroll to the very bottom, and you'll see volunteers, and you click on that. That will bring up the list of all Run Disney events that you can volunteer for, and it also includes the events in California, the Tinkerbell and the Disneyland Half, which actually my mom volunteered this past September. For the 10K, and she's kind of a coast-to-coast volunteer. So that's where you're going to go, and you can click to pick an event you'd like to volunteer for. It will also tell you if it's open for registration, if it's not open yet. When the event is open for registration, you will, depending on the event, typically for a 5K or some of the there haven't been 10Ks separately recently, you don't know what you're going to do until the morning of the event. They'll give you your assignment. But for things at the Tower of Terror, or any of the half marathon, marathon events, there's usually a list where you can pick the type of job that you want to volunteer for.
And Mary Jean, any idea how many people volunteer? Is it different for different races?
It's different for different races. For the smaller events, you're going to have less people. Marathon weekend, there are hundreds. It's just amazing. Yeah, there's hundreds on marathon weekend.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Phil?
12,000 over the course of the year.
Oh, that's amazing. So, Phil, you know, you're coming from New York. You're moving to Florida. Did you move there just to volunteer for Disney running events? what made you decide that would be something fun to do?
I just had an incredible job offer that I couldn't pass up. And being a Disney fan, it just kind of made sense to take the ideal position for me, about 45 minutes outside of Disney. Just kind of made sense. And so we bribed the kids with Disney annual passes and said, we're moving to Florida.
Great. So what made you decide that you wanted to volunteer at Disney races?
You know, I'm sort of a Disney, you know, addict, probably read 20 or 30 books about Disney and take vacations there whenever I could. And I'm also a running addict. And so it just kind of seemed to make sense to combine those two. And actually what happened for me is that I tried to volunteer for several races and I kept getting locked out, meaning that, you know, I would try to sign up to volunteer the day that registration opened and later in that day it would already be filled. There are so many people who wanted to volunteer at Disney events that it's actually hard to get in. And so I kept getting waitlisted. And then I found this thing on the Run Disney website that talked about being a team leader. And that if you have, you know, leadership experience and are comfortable leading large groups of people and volunteering maybe a little bit more than a regular volunteer, that you could say that you're interested in being a team leader. And so I emailed the person that was listed and went to a training and then became a team leader. So that's a little different than a typical volunteer. There are, as I mentioned, there are 12,000 volunteers. There are about 120 team leaders. So it's a little different in that way.
So, Phil, can you give us an idea regarding the difference between a team leader and a non-team leader on the day of the race or even a day or two before the race? What are the differences?
Sure. So if you're a volunteer, you're typically arriving an hour or two later than the team leaders. So, for example, on the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, I was scheduled as a finish line monitor, which meant that you were in the finish shoot area, basically kind of moving people away from gathering all over the course, sitting around waiting for their friends to come in. And there were about 60 people who were in that particular volunteer zone as a finish course monitor. And so then you've got two team leaders over them, just kind of making sure that they know what they're doing and kind of motivating the troops and walking around the area. So whereas the volunteers were each kind of positioned in an area, the team leader is sort of running around making sure that everything's going okay. During the Tower of Terror, at a Powerade stop, the volunteers are getting everything ready and handing out the water, and the team leaders are kind of running around making sure that again, everything is moving smoothly and moving okay. So it's fun. It's something I enjoy doing. So
Mary Jean and Nancy, if you want to chime in, I was wondering, do you have a hard time when I know that they have a lot of volunteers? Is it difficult to get in as a volunteer?
I have not had a hard time doing it because I know when the events are coming up, so I pretty much stalk the website looking for when it opens. I mean, and we're talking checking in the morning, checking at lunchtime, checking at the end of the day. So I've not had an issue, but I do know the popular events do fill up quickly. They do have a wait list on there, which you may or may not get in. So I would advise anyone who is interested for an event, if it says it opens up a few months before, just keep checking. every day. Like I said, I would do it three times a day, and I've managed to get us in.
And you don't have to live in Orlando to be a volunteer. That's correct.
No, you do not. You can volunteer if you're going to be on vacation at the time of the event. You can sign up. There's a lot of people that don't even live in the Orlando area. They may live around Tampa or further south, and they will come up for a day or two and volunteer. So anybody that's going to be in that area at that time can sign up to do it.
And it seems like it's all ages from, 18-year-olds all the way on up.
There is a minimum age requirement, and it states it on the website. I don't know if it's for
12.
Some of the events. Is it 12?
12 years old. Yeah.
12. Wow. Okay.
If you're accompanied with your, with your guardian or parent, you can be 12 years old and do it.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
But definitely the age range, there's all ages that are there and in volunteering. But I would also say too, for anybody that doesn't live in the Central Florida area, volunteer at some of the events that are in your community. It also gives you an idea that, sort of what to expect. And also you might find that, this 5K, it doesn't look as bad as I thought it would. And it might even encourage you to get out and try that event as a participant.
So, Phil, let's say you and I are having a Dole Whip or two or three, and we get on the subject of volunteering at Run Disney events. And I said to you, Phil, I really don't know what to expect. Can you tell me if I were to try to get into volunteering at a Run Disney event and they said, yeah, Mike, come on down, what can I expect? And also, what can I not expect?
Well, it's going to vary based on the area that you're volunteering. Water stop or a Powerade stop, you're going to be arriving maybe an hour and a half before the runners are going to be passing by you. And all of the materials that you have to set up that water or Powerade stop will be waiting for you wrapped up in pallets. And the reason why you only arrive an hour or an hour and a half before is because of road closures and things. They kind of have to use kind of surgical strike, tactics there to get you in quickly and get you out quickly. So, for example, when we were doing the Powerade stop during the Tower of Terror, we got there maybe 90 minutes early, and we had to set up roughly 10,000 cups of Powerade in about an hour and a half. And I think we had a total of 80 volunteers between the water and Powerade in our section. We were at mile 6.4. And so you set all of that up, and then the team leaders are in contact with the race officials, and you'll hear them call out like, first runner is at mile 2, and then you can kind of pace that out. The faster runners are.
Oh, they don't just say my name? They don't just say Michelle?
Michelle is on her way.
But you kind of, you're there. So then you're all of a sudden the runners, start showing up, and it's a trickle at first because it's just the fast people. And then you kind of get this crush, around the 12 to 15 minute per mile range folks. And it gets really, really busy. And then it starts to slow down, and you've got the sweeper bus, the SAG bus coming up to take the last people out. And then you very quickly clean up and you jump on a bus and you go back to the parking lot. Oh, I should mention too that you generally have a designated parking area. They've been using Typhoon Lagoon a lot. And that's where you check in for your volunteer. And you get your name tag, and they'll sometimes give you a snack of some sort, and they'll give you a volunteer shirt or jacket to wear to identify you as a volunteer for that race.
Now, Nancy and Mary Jean, you guys have gotten a lot of swag, right?
We have. We first started in January of 2006, so we've got a lot of jackets and T-shirts to go along with.
And they're pretty nice, too, aren't they?
They are. They're very nice. They're definitely collectors item. There have been many runners that have come by that wanted to take our shirt or
those pesky runners. So, so what have been? I have seen you guys doing everything. I remember I've seen Nancy. I think maybe both of you at the Magic Kingdom over that darn speed bump where you have to hear that recording 170 million times. I've seen you guys at the Toll Plaza. Yes, I've seen you. And Nancy, I have a great picture of you in Epcot with a sombrero. I remember that last year. So what have been some of your favorite places to volunteer?
Well, we've done race start, race finish, water and Powerade. We've been course monitors. We've done bag check. We've done crowd control, which can be kind of daunting, trying to keep the spectators back. I enjoy now that they've separated out. It used to be you'd volunteer for the water stop, and on that day, then they would get volunteers to do Powerade. And sometimes it's a little difficult to find people to want to do that. So now you can sign up ahead of time either for water or Powerade. And I really enjoy doing the Powerade. I also enjoy being a course monitor because you can really interact with the runners. I know my mom, she'll greet good morning, and you try to make it cheerful for them. You know, no matter what mile you are on the course, you don't want to be there, you know, with a frown on your face. You want to be happy and peppy and encourage them to try to maybe lift their spirits, or, you know, just help them have a good time, because that's really what the Disney races are about.
So I'm going to ask both all of you this question. I'm going to start with Phil first. My guess, Phil, is that you were a runner before you were a volunteer. And so I was going to ask you, from your experience as a runner, does it help you to understand, regardless of where you're going to be volunteering, what you can do to help the runners and make that experience much better for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to kind of know what they're thinking. So, like, when I was in the finisher's shoot, when I saw you guys just a couple of weeks ago there, our task that evening was to move people out of the finisher's shoot. So I actually met Michelle where she was in an area that I think she had several volunteers ask her to move already.
I didn't. I was being really adorable and sweet.
Oh, that's good. You know, I think it helps to kind of know like what you're thinking after you've run 13.1 miles, and what you want to do is find a place to sit for a second or catch your breath, and yet you've got all these volunteers telling you to keep moving on. So if you kind of just have a good attitude, and instead of just saying we need you to move out of this area, you know, instead you say, hey, I know you're tired, you did a great job, but if you could just keep on going for just a few hundred more yards. There's lots of space at the end where you'll be able to spread out, and that kind of helps. But there's a lot going on at the end, so I get that people are kind of frazzled. They're trying to get their bag, they're getting their medal, they're getting their food, they're trying to change. There's a lot going on, so you just try to recognize that people have just run a lot and they're tired. So,
Mary Jean and Nancy, what have been your best experiences as volunteers? What do you have you had any memorable ones?
Well, I think there was one time where my mom, there was a runner that it was a woman, a female runner, and on her shirt in large letters said, thank you, volunteers. And I think that's no matter where you are or what job you're volunteering, that when the runners say thank you, that really makes you feel that, not that you need to feel appreciated, but it's like that they recognize, you know, that you're there to help them. And that was in one heartwarming moment. I remember it. We were at mile 15 when it was the old marathon course, and we were working Powerade. And that was my first experience seeing those back of the pack runners. And I saw that orange flag go up that anybody beyond that, they were in danger of getting swept. And actually I tear up talking about this now, because it just to see all the volunteers were just really cheering and coaxing on those runners that you can do it and keep going. And it was just really a moving experience to see that. And that was after I had already started training for half marathons. And so I knew what the struggle and how much determination those runners had. So that really kind of hit home and touched me.
That's great. No, that was really wonderful. And I know that so many times, you just need a little push and that person there cheering for you or just saying good job or you can do it. It really makes a huge difference. Phil, what about you? Have you had any moments that have been really memorable?
You know, we had a situation at the Tower of Terror, or excuse me, the Wine and Dine, where one of the other team leaders got to assign a volunteer who had just beat breast cancer. They got to assign her to medals, which is kind of like the coveted volunteer spot where you get to like put the medals over people as they cross the finish line.
Of course.
And so that was really cool just to be able to see that woman who had just gone through this major battle to be able to watch her give out medals to everybody. That was really cool.
That's great. So what advice would you give to runners if they wanted to, help make your job a little bit easier? What would you say they should do at Disney Races to help you guys out as volunteers?
Just be nice.
Yeah, just say thank you and be nice.
Yeah, and listen to what the volunteers have to say, because they're told instructions of what to do and – you know, that they're just doing their job as a volunteer and they're there to help everyone out.
You know, it's if you're in the finisher chute, I think that's the place where people can be the nastiest. And people will even say things like, you know, hey, I paid a lot of money for this race and I paid a lot of money to stay at Disney. And here you are telling me to move on. I'll stay as long as I want. Thank you. And people will even get a little more angry than that and curse at you a little bit. So just be nice, you know. I think that's the biggest thing.
I don't to hear that.
So my final question and sort of picks up what you just said, Phil, and all of you. If someone were to say, gee, you know, I really would like to try volunteering, what type of a time commitment are they looking at? And if that time commitment depends upon the length of the race. Is there a variance in how much time they would be committing to that particular day and race?
Well, when you go into volunteer, it has what the shift, your time shift is. For example, for a 5K that may start at 7 in the morning, your start time might be 5 a.m. until whatever the end of that race, say 9:30. But it does give you what that span of time is, so you can decide ahead of time if that fits within your time or not. I've never had a volunteer go beyond the stated end time of the, you know, that they had there. Now, I know team leader, it's more time that's involved with that, but for regular volunteering,
I think at the Wine and Dine, I got there at 8. I think I was supposed to be there at 8 p.m. And I was supposed to be done by 4. I ended up being done around 4:30 or quarter of 5 in the morning. So what's that, 8 or 9 hours? So
that
was for the half marathon.
Wow. That sounds like it would have been worth a jacket and a half, Phil.
I know, yeah.
You might want to keep your jacket. You earned it.
Well, and the other
My
thing
wife
too
says
is,
I can't wear purple.
Okay, all right, I'll take it then.
It also depends on what job you're doing too, because if you're working the start line for a half or a full, you need to be there really early. But then, as soon as all those runners have cleared the corrals, then your shift is over. But if you're working the finish line, you've got a longer shift to do that. So it depends on the job you're choosing. But again, it's right there when you go to volunteer what that time span is.
Well, I just came up with two more questions. And it pertains to specifically the upcoming Walt Disney World Marathon weekend, where we have a new race. We have a 10K. So here's my question to you guys. I don't know if you would know. I'm hoping that you would know the answer to these two questions. Number one, is it too late for anyone to try and volunteer? And number two, do you know of, and Phil, you may be the person who would know this, being in that you're in a team leader position, are there volunteers who will be working multi-races? In other words, they may work a 10K and a half, or the half and the full, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of people that do multiple races. And some people will even do, some of the team leaders, like for the Tower of Terror, I was there in the morning for the 5K and then in the evening for the Tower of Terror. So a lot of people do that. And they do still need volunteers. Last time I heard, they still needed volunteers for a few spots over marathon weekend.
I think some were for the 5K and 10K, I think, yeah. Email. For marathon weekend, my mom is volunteering at the 5K, 10K, half and full.
Yeah, that's great.
She's doing the dopey of volunteers?
Yes. Well, I'm doing the dopey races, so she's doing the dopey volunteering. Well,
so does that mean Nancy's going to get 6 jackets?
Oh, Nancy, I'm so happy that you're going to be there.
Repeating collars. I have so many that now I've got more, maybe 2 reds, 3 blues, 2 yellows. You know, they're kind of running out of colors to give me.
Yeah, not only that, but like the runners, you're going to have to wear 6 jackets on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
I've got to have to pile them on.
They should, I can't wait actually, to see them.
They should actually, when you think about it, what they should do is they should have a special Goofy jacket. I mean, a dopey jacket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They really should.
That, you know what? Let's put that suggestion in.
Well,
Mike Scopa says.
So I want to thank Mary Jean and Nancy Cancel for coming on, and Phil Taylor. We'll see you guys. Well, we'll see. Phil, we'll see you at reunion, I guess, correct?
Yes, I'll be there. And Mike, if the listeners are interested in knowing what some of the other stuff that volunteers and team leaders get, you'll find some of that on the Run Disney website, specifically on the Disney Sports Enthusiasts page, where it tells you what some of the other, in addition to the jackets, you actually get some other stuff too. So,
plus also too, on that Wide World of Disney page, there are also other events through Disney that you can volunteer for in addition to the Run Disney, which they're listed there, you know, track and field, the Special Olympics, soccer. So there are things other than Run Disney that you can volunteer for.
Great point. Cool.
So for all you listeners that are going to be running at any Run Disney event, keep in mind what you've heard and be grateful that we have all these wonderful people volunteering and making our running experience as pleasurable as it can be. And on behalf of the runners, I want to thank Phil and Nancy and Mary Jean for all their volunteering. And, of course, Mary Jean, you're going to be running in January, right?
Yes, I will.
Yes, you will.
I'm dopey.
Yeah, so many people are. So for Mary Jean Cancel and Nancy Cancel, Philip Taylor, and Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by Santa's Helpers at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. That's right. They are Santa's Helpers because they can help you put together a special Christmas gift, especially for you and your family. Maybe it's time to start planning that very next Disney vacation. Let them help you help yourself. So give them a try at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.